Hello, everyone. Hello, I'm George from Ireland. I'm recalling the anniversary of Tony Blair kissing hands, being appointed Prime Minister by Her Late Majesty Elizabeth of that name, the second, because I stayed up all night on the 1st of May and the housemaster said to knock it on her hand, on the head at a certain time, but I didn't. I stayed up past the wee hours, the only one there in the so-called quiet room where the telly was exceptionally. Usually not allowed, seeing the results filter in, seeing Harvey Thomas, Maggie Thatcher's former press secretary there commentating with what's his name? Neil Kinnock, former Labour leader, the man who 5 years earlier tried to become a Labour prime minister. And the results come in from the very urban constituencies, Labour, Labour, Labour. And then after a while, there was a conceit for the Conservatives. And then a second one, well, at least there were two. They could contest the leadership, or Lord Parkinson, Conservative peer, saying, "I'm glad we have at least got one seat." And we knew that it was going to be a Labour landslide. But Labour obviously won the popular vote, but the share of the vote was not as high as usual. Again, turnout was always problematic for the Reds. So 43% of the vote to the Conservatives, 30.7, led by that real grey man, John Major, very over-promoted Prime Minister. He got the job precisely because he's uneducated. It's staggering how he got so much promotion despite his ineptitude. Hard to believe that when he came in just after Thatcher in November 1990, his approval ratings shot up. Was one of the most popular prime ministers ever. Partly honeymoon, partly because he wasn't Maggie Thatcher. Another thing is a wartime prime minister, the war against Iraq over Kuwait. Anyway, so Blair came in and obviously he's there's that victory party there at Royal Festival Hall in the South Bank, and Neil Kinnock bopping his head to "Things Can Only Get Better" by D-Ream, which had come out a couple of years earlier, and Labour had adopted that as their campaign anthem. They had their pledge card. It was a very slickly run media operation out of Millbank Tower there in London. Tony Benn's house, ironically, stood on the site of it. It still stands, the Millbank Tower. Derek Draper, now dead, and he was also quipping. And one of these satirical shows was at Friday Night Armistice. Amanda Iannucci was saying, "How would you spin this one? What if David Blunkett comes out saying, 'I hate Muslims'?" Now, it didn't seem to be a particularly relevant joke at the time. 9/11 came a few years later, and there was a lot of anti-Islamic prejudice. Goodness. So, and I very cruelly decided to run to the bedroom of a boy who was a fellow Conservative and knock on his door and actually shock him and said, "We've won, we've won," as in Conservatives, knowing we'd been absolutely smashed out of sight. And there he is getting up woozily after only 4 hours sleep, thinking that the most miraculous turnaround had somehow happened. Of course, we hadn't won. It was a very cruel joke, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to play such a joke for many years to come. There we were. All right. So, yeah. And then the guards happened to be marching in for the change of the guard or whatever, when Blair's car went up to Downing Street. I remember they showed the footage of Major after he came back from, not Downing Street, Buckingham Palace, came back from Buckingham Palace. And there is giving a speech in Smith Square, the then headquarters of the Conservative Unionist Party, saying, you know, well, when the curtain falls, it's time to get off the stage, as in he's going to resign as leader of the Conservative Party, thanking all his staff. And they're almost jubilant and cheering him to the echo. And there in the background was that little twerp, George Osborne, who was to be later Chancellor of the Exchequer. Anyway, it was difficult to be a teenage Tory at the time, I can tell you. But, you know, what a poster boy we had in John Major. And how disappointing they were. But by any objective measure, things had got worse under the Conservatives, in some ways better. But, you know, if you look at the NHS, there being mass unemployment in the 80s, crime had tripled. That is a staggering failure for any government. It had gone down in the late 90s, well, mid-90s, it's true, a bit, but still worse it was in 79. Drug addiction had spread. Now, I'm not against it, but the Conservative position was, and a few successes, fewer strikes, inflation had come down. They preserved the union, all the rest of it. Okay, so Blair came in and he was a catastrophe for the United Kingdom. And I was a day one abominator of Blair. It was such a Pinocchio. He was a demagogue. He was smarmy. He was all things to all people. He would use these completely fallacious arguments, come out with category errors, things that had to be modernized, which was to degrade things, to deprive us of our rights. and so on. He was against the Quango state, but he expanded the Quangocracy, and so on. He wasted huge amounts of money in these public-private partnerships, which cost the pub taxpayer way more in the long run to build hospitals. He dumbed down the national curriculum. He was a constitutional vandal. He weakened the United Kingdom. He let terrorists out of jail. He didn't uphold his own promises when terrorists in Northern Ireland refused to hand over their weapons, and so forth. I mean, yes, there is peace in Northern Ireland, but the credit goes to the army, to the Royal Ulster Constabulary, to the Irish Security Forces, who defeated the terrorists. Freedom fighters won, and the terrorists were defeated, and democracy reigned, and not because of Blair. The terrorists were willing to give in precisely because they'd been thrashed. So it was very bad news in all sorts of ways. Hugely overexpanded the university sector, overregulation. He was into taking liberties. Thousands and thousands of actions were criminalized, and the police were even more politicized. There was incessant leftist brainwashing in the civil service, in the police, in the armed forces, in schooling. So it really is despicable. He was a mass murderer as well, Blair. Evil, evil bastard. Unrepentant. He's made tens of millions of pounds since leaving office. Not a penny has he given to the people he hurt, and so on. But one of the few things I agree with him was on liberating Afghanistan and the Iraq. But if you're going to fight there, you need to give the military the weapons they need and fund that. If that means cutting spending in other areas, if it means borrowing more, if it means taxing more, you do whatever it takes. You give them what they need. And of course, he didn't desertify the tanks. They were not properly armored Land Rovers. A lot of people died totally avoidably. I accept, of course, some troops are going to get killed in war. All right, can't be too risk averse. But you've got to give them the equipment that they require, and not penny pinching to waste it on sending the educable to university. He really was vile. He was a Euro fanatic, Blair. So hubristic, power went to his head. You should see that documentary about 2004, Inside the Mind of Tony Blair. And he managed to have a good relationship with George W. Bush. So, but Blair is vile. And then he crossed the Tiber. He became a Roman Catholic, a totally honorable thing to do. But wait a second. He disagreed with the Catholic Church on abortion, on gay marriage, on the environment, or whatever, on nuclear weapons, or the Iraq War, on Afghanistan. He agreed with, he believed in Catholicism, all except Catholicism. I mean, what? Why do you become a Catholic when you disbelieve in it? I mean, this is daft. So that's how dishonest he was. You see his casuistry, you see his capacity for doublethink. So he is reviled in the Labour Party. Sir Tony Blair, knighted a few years ago. He revealed lots of confidences, what the Queen said to him in private, and that was very much disapproved of. He referred to himself as head of state, which he most certainly wasn't. So you can see how arrogant he was. He's just a despicable character. But he walked on water for many years. His approval ratings were sky high. If he held election in 98 or 99, he would have won by even more than in 1997. The one thing I do have to give him is he did improve the NHS. The waiting list went down. It took a while, but it improved on basically all fronts. He threw loads of money at it. It didn't improve as much as it should have, considering the money spent. But have to give the devil his due. Well, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.